Good morning, church family. Before we sit, let's say a prayer before I share from God's Word. Our Lord, Heavenly Father, we're here because we love you. You call us to your Word through your Spirit, that we may be edified, changed, blessed, and increase our understanding of how you provide so much for us. Guide my words, guide all of our thoughts as we listen to, reflect upon, and benefit from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Today is, as you all know, the first day of Advent season. First Sunday. There's a placard out in the back that I looked at this morning that said, Advent is a time of preparation to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Ken, you talked about that. We're going to celebrate. One of the songs talked about how in the past, people cried that they may be set free and removed, that the light may be brought into their lives because of the darkness that there is apart from Christ. You know, as we think about his birth, I think what I'm going to be sharing, I hope, results in a deeper understanding of what he came for and what's available to each and every one of us. Because I can tell you personally, it's hard to keep those things in mind and to truly benefit from his birth, his life, his suffering, his death, and lastly, his resurrection. So, the word Advent, to the best of my knowledge, does not appear in Scripture. It's a Latin term. And here's what it means. A coming. A coming. Anticipation of a coming. And even more importantly than that, it's a time of yearning, longing. Come. It's so important in my life. Come. Now, a few weeks back, one of Ken's Bible studies, Alice, you mentioned about the Jews, how they didn't recognize he came because they were hoping for all the things that they were promised to come with him. You know, the lion lies down with the lamb and all those things. A dramatic difference in their lives, in their world, because of his coming. As a matter of fact, Isaiah spoke about that, and if you look in the front of your bulletin under Isaiah chapter 61, let me just highlight some things for you. This is what they were longing for. Isaiah said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And it's clearly understood that what he was doing was speaking about the coming Christ. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. That's each and every one of us as well as them. Good news, good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and hear this, to the Jews through Isaiah, the day of vengeance of our God. The day of vengeance of our God. Now, it's really interesting to note, and we'll read that in a moment. The reason this scripture is so important, it was one that Christ referred to when he was speaking in Jerusalem, in the temple. And what I plan to do, with some help, is to bring life to what he said and what it means for us, because I think, actually I'm confident, if we have a better understanding of what he said he was here to do, we can examine ourselves and ask, how am I doing with that? How is the reality of Christ's birth impacting my life today? So we'll turn to Luke chapter 4. It's in your bulletin as well. And I'll begin in verse 16. And he, speaking of Christ, came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Imagine that. He was a kid, lived the life of a kid, and he's brought up. He comes back into this place to speak this holy word. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on a Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. This was a place he wanted to find. He wanted to share. And as far as I'm concerned, I really believe he wants to share it with each and every one of us to bring more life. Life and more light into our lives. Here's what he said. Look at the comparison. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Don't be mistaken. Who's he speaking for? For God. That's how important it is. Because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. I don't know if you're like me, but when I think of poor, I think of someone who has less money in their wallet. That's not what the real word means here. As a matter of fact, when you read from Genesis, the real word in the Hebrew language for poor is what happened to Adam when he sinned. What you reminded us about as you read from Genesis was he tried to hide. He crouched down. He was trembling, filled with fear. That's what poor means. And what about that? He came to preach the gospel to those people, to us. You know, fear is a horrible thing a lot of the time. And there are many things that occur that cause that fear. A lot of it starts when we don't even remember what life was about. I can speak from personal experience. I had a fear that was extremely intense for a long period. I was talking to Ken. I still suffer from it today. And I had no idea where it came from. I was always worried. I was always scared, especially if I was alone. And about 3 years ago, well, let me tell you this. I'd go hunting with my father, and I was five steps behind him the whole time. He said, back up, back up. I was afraid to get lost. Where did that fear come from? I had no idea until she explained it to me. My mom said, when you are just a few weeks old, talk about when things start to impact our lives. When you were 3 weeks old, we were bringing you to a babysitter because my mom and my dad both worked. And she said, every time you went there, the babysitter said, all you did was cry for hours. Why do you think I cried? I suspect it's because I was being separated from my parents. And so the babysitter said, I can't do this anymore. Either leave him here during the week or I stop. So what happened was, my parents dropped me off on a Monday morning and I didn't see them until a Friday night. Had no idea where that might have come from. I'm afraid of being left alone. One time I went to the hospital in Massachusetts. I had a broken arm and had a carrying angle like this and they were going to repair it. I thought I was going for a visit, for a checkup. I got a checkup all right. And then my parents said, goodbye, you're staying here, you're having an operation. Guess what happened? Whoa! All of a sudden, fear ruled. So I'm still plagued with it. I need to be healed from that. Every one of us has fear in our hearts for the things we experienced. Let's go on. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Brokenhearted. Have you ever had your heart broken? It hurts. It's intense. It causes a lot of sadness, deep sadness, worry. He wants to heal us from that. You know, I'll wait just for 1 second before I say more about that. He wants to preach deliverance. Christ came to preach deliverance to the captives. Captives. Think of it this way. A captive, actually the word captive really means one caught with a spear. So what happens, you have a battle, someone catches you with a spear and bring you back. You lose the battle. That's what you're captive from. Your freedom is taken away from you. The battle is not won, it's lost. And set at liberty them that are bruised. When I first read that word, excuse me, my nose is running. When I first read that word, I was thinking about black and blue. I got plenty of those. That's not what the word means. Bruised is broken to pieces. And it's broken not just because you snap it. It's because of the pressures of things that come, forces that come in your life and rub, and those are the things that break you. Can you relate to any of those things in the past and in the present? That's what Christ said he came to heal us from, to empower us to be successful in our lives. Now, when I was asked to share the God's Word this morning, you know, you have a cover that comes up, and I was thinking, what we need, if you take a look at it, it's a red onion that's sliced. And you know what that really reminds us about? It reminds us that the needs we have for healing are not once and for all. They happen in different layers. I can have healing from some of my fear, but something else can happen because, I'll tell you what, I had a stroke 3 years ago. I lost my speech. And if I hadn't been able to get into an ambulance to get to a hospital, I probably wouldn't be here now. I went to a men's retreat about 6 months later. It was 3-4 miles deep into the woods. Guess what? Uh-oh. I'm away from a doctor, a hospital. When you have a stroke, you realize how mortal you are. I didn't want to go. And a lot of things happened to help me overcome that. But let me highlight something that's critical to all the things that I've said thus far, and it's right from this verse. And Christ said, and recovering of sight to the blind. Have you thought about what the word recover means? Think about it for a minute. When you recover, it's something you had and you lose. You have and you lose. We have sight about the things we have for needs and struggles that we face and challenges that can overwhelm us. We have an understanding about that, and then we lose it. Why? Because we're human beings and circumstances change. Challenge us. Sight. That word sight is about looking up. Looking up. So really, if we're walking in our lives and we're looking down, we're not looking to our God and Savior to talk about, to learn about, and to incorporate into our lives what He has in store for us. We lose our sight. You know, sight is the equivalent to awareness. You know, it's a hard known fact that we don't know what we don't know. And I know what I need to find things out. I need to really consider, reflect upon what God's Word says about me. What He has in store for me, what He has in store for you, for everyone. He came into the world to make this thing that we read about, these things we read about in Luke, true for all men. You know, I was invited to go to a conference. It was actually a training of all teachers in Brunswick. I'm retired. I'm not doing any of that work anymore, but they still invited me to go. And it was about how to deal with school children who are depressed and suicidal. Important subject. hard fact is that happens a lot. So here's what happened. The presenter starts talking about depression, what it looks like, what it sounds like. And let me tell you what happened in that room. I was the only male. There were 35 of us. So 34 women and myself. And all of a sudden, people started speaking up about the things that had happened in their lives that caused their depression. Never would have known what they struggle with and continue to be impacted by, what they experience in their lives. One woman got up and she said, I need to tell you, I know what this is like. I tried killing myself because I had an eating disorder. I couldn't stand myself. You know what that takes? To acknowledge? Courage. Linda, you remember this. We were at a Bible study one time. And there was a man in the back of the church, an elderly man who drives a bus for a school. And after the Bible study, he got up and he said, I want you all to know, my wife and I have a horrible relationship. He acknowledged the difficulty he was having. He said, I just want you to know we're struggling with that. You're probably thinking, well, what did you guys do? Silence. Silence. No one knew how to respond. No one. He sat back down, we finished the study, and we all took off. I ran into him. By the time I went 3.5-4 miles into the woods, he was there. I went over and I introduced myself and I asked him to forgive me. He said, why? I said, because I didn't know how to respond with what you shared. And I'm confident the reason you shared it is because that is something you want to change. And we started talking. I made a commitment to pray for him for a while, and I did. So, this healing that we need is real in each and every one of our lives. The things we put away, the things we deny, we minimize, Christ wants us whole. Be holy as I am holy. I can't do that on my own. The fact that he came, was born, makes all that possible for each and every one of us. You know, I think I'm believing more and more based on what I read and I studied today, prepare for today, that we should have an understanding about what specific area of healing he wants us to experience. And we all need it. A plan, a reflection upon what that is, what consequences it has, and praying to God as we prepare for celebrating his birth, recognizing that we have an ability to benefit from the fact that he came, and we can plug into him through his spirit to get the healing we need in some of these areas. You know, in Psalms 107, it talks about, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, redemption is not just about being saved. It's being set free. Let the redeemed say so. Testifying to what he's changing in our lives, what some of the struggles are for young and old alike. I'd like for you to think about something for a moment. We're going to be celebrating Christ's birth. I'd like for you, in your own minds, as I ask this question, to come up with an answer for yourself. What would the world be like if Christ hadn't come? Think about that. More importantly, what would your life be like if Christ hadn't come? What would it be like for you two if your parents didn't have their perspective about Christ and his importance. How different would your childhood be if Christ hadn't come? What would our marriage be like if Christ hadn't come? What hope would we have for the future if he hadn't come? Can you think about those things? Well, the good news is he came. And he has the ability to give us the desire and the means to experience the healing he decides we desperately need, recognizes we desperately need. I talk about that this morning only because for the first time in my life, I'm thinking of Advent in a different way. You know what? It's not just about his coming, because everyone in this room is here because they know he came. So how are we benefiting from that? So let's reflect in this period of 4 weeks. What is it you want from me, Lord? What do you want me as an individual, me as a partner, us as a family, to experience and give you glory and praise because of what you accomplish? Because you came and you're still here living in each and every one of us. I talked about a lot. We're going to talk some more about it on Thursday night because I asked Pierre if I could take care of the taking the deeper, because there's a lot more to talk about and reflect upon to really be able to empower ourselves to bring glory to the God we love and want to serve. Pierre asked me what I wanted a song to bring forth based on what I was learning. And it's the next song. If Christ had not come, you could not be singing the next song. It is well with my soul. If it is well with our soul, can you imagine what it would be like if we could be well in our bodies, our minds, and our spirits? You know, what I'm going to close with is a deepened understanding about the need for praise for a God who sent his Son to do that for me.